Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody back, Alabama Care. We are in Birmingham, Alabama today at the Lakeshore Foundation, and we have Mrs. Lori Watkins, the coordinator for recreation and athletics, and Emily Mallard, the coordinator for aquatics. And today we're going to be talking about adult opportunities, youth aquatics, and summer programs. And at this point, I'd like to hand it over. Mrs. Watkins, if you would introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Lori Watkins. I have been here at Lakeshore about to start my 11th year, so I've seen a lot of growth over that time. I have a master's degree in exercise physiology, and I'm also a certified inclusive fitness trainer. I just received that certification last year. And my job sort of expands a little bit. I wear a lot of hats around here. My primary focus is youth, but I also coordinate some of our adult programming. I do a lot of summer camps, special events for youth, things like that. We also work a little bit with our military camps that we have periodically, and sometimes training sites when we have competitions and tournaments here. We get to work with them as well. So I love it here at Lakeshore. It's where I'm supposed to be, and I'm looking forward to many more years here too.
Yeah, 11 years, that's quite a bit to be able to grow with the organization there. Now, are you originally from Alabama?
Actually from South Georgia. But I have been in Birmingham 16 years.
Okay. So we always like to ask, Alabama's huge in football. Is it Roll Tide or War Eagle?
Oh, it's a big War Eagle from this girl.
Yeah. Very cool. And Mrs. Mallard, if you would introduce yourself.
So I'm Emily Mallard. I am the aquatics coordinator at Lakeshore. And I have been here about 13 years. So I started part-time while I was in college and transitioned from there. And I also recently got my Certified Inclusive Fitness Trainer certification. And I am primarily responsible for all of the programs that happen in the pool, adult and youth, and then anything that happens in other departments that involve water. So anything that the recreation department may do at the lake, or if they bring a group to the pool, or things like that. So we do kind of cross over a lot, and especially in the youth world, we kind of intermingle the two.
Yeah, talking quite a bit there. Now, you both mentioned the inclusive fitness certification. If you could take me through that, what exactly is that you both kind of just received?
Yeah, so this is American College of Sports Medicine backed certification through our NICPAD department here. That's the National Center on Physical Activity and Disability. And it was a certification that we had a training here at Lakeshore for, and then you have a study guide and you sit for the test, and that allows you the certification to train people with a variety of disabilities.
Gotcha.
It's like a personal training certification, but with a focus on physical and intellectual disabilities. So really talks about specifics of different diagnoses, different groups, things like that. And I really learned a lot in this study process for that.
Absolutely.
That can be transitioned here.
I feel like all personal trainers should go through that.
I agree.
We said the same thing. We finished. I think there's such a great amount of information that people could learn from that. And, you know, we've been in this for so many years and we still learn stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a great opportunity for other personal trainers just to see the information.
Do you have, like, could I take it tomorrow, or do you have to have like previous knowledge or previous certifications? Because I'm thinking about for my family member.
You do have to have some prerequisites. From my understanding, either a degree in a related field or a personal training certification already. Mm-hmm. But the material and the book is open to anyone. And I think that even just going over the book and doing a study guide is really valuable information.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of shy away from it again. I hate doing tests. Takes me back to doing like SAT or something.
Yeah, that's right. SAT. Back to college days.
So today we're going to be talking about, being active. Here we have a comment that says, Lori's voice is fading in and out. Are you getting that? Oh, got it fixed. Cool. So why is physical activity important?
So our mission at Lakeshore says to enable people with physical disability and chronic health conditions to lead active, healthy, and independent lifestyles through physical activity, sport, recreation, advocacy, policy, and research. And what we like to focus on is the active and independent. Hmm. We feel like activity is very important, and for youth and adults. It's one of those things that goes through the lifespan. And so we like to focus on it with our youth and work our way all the way up. Activity is an important part of everybody's lives. And so our job here at Lakeshore is to help people either get started with that or continue that and through the life. And you know, we have people that have found their passion in a sport here. We've had people that just want to work out. They come down and do that. We've had people that want to learn how to swim as an adult. We have that opportunity too. So we try to expose people to a lot of different things, whatever that is, whatever they enjoy doing, as long as it's moving, it's active, and an end goal is that maybe they can become a little more independent through that.
Mm, so athletics or being active kind of as a transition for being independent. Do you Correct. Know, does it build a lot of confidence there, or some of the things that you learn through being active help in the independent living sector?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll let you speak to that.
Well, and I think physical activity goes way beyond just the physical body. You know, there's an emotional piece, there's a social piece. And the independence is one thing that we do like to look at a lot of times. You know, you may think, oh, I'm going to get in the pool and I'm going to swim. How does that help me walk? Well, you're strengthening all your muscles. You are using muscles you wouldn't otherwise use. Hmm. And it all transitions.
I think swimming is one of the hardest activities out there. Whenever I go
total body, for
it's
sure.
Like one lap and I'm drained. Now, I play hockey a couple times a week.
Yeah.
When I get in the pool, I'm using like the sides of my stomach I never use.
Right, very different.
And it's like two laps and then I'm just wading water. Yeah, just trying not to go under.
And even in the pool, there's much more than just swimming. So in our therapy pool, a lot of people will just come and walk, and they can get in the water without an assistive device and build up that strength they may not otherwise be able to do. You know, they can walk in the water for 30 minutes and they may not be able to do that on land. And gradually they'll notice that will transition to land.
Yeah, I notice, I mean, when you walk in the lakeshore, the pool is right on your right, mm-hmm. huge windows there, and there's always something going on in the pool. You always see a class going on or individuals in the pool. Mm-hmm. And I love for my family member how you can walk right in. Now, she's mm-hmm. in a wheelchair, so we'll put her in one of the you know, water-friendly wheelchairs and just kind of wade right in to the point where she can get up on her own and kind of mm-hmm. you know, hold on to the side there. But it's always so active. There's always something going on in that pool, and I just love how you can walk in and always see that, you know, the community is there.
Oh yeah, and one of my favorite stories relating to independence, Lori, you're probably going to recognize as soon as I start talking about it. We had a child, I guess he was what, 10 or 11 at the time, and he did a combination of land and aquatics activities. And his mom came in one day and she said, guess what he did? And we're like, what? She said, he got pudding out on his own, out of the fridge. And we're like, okay, you know, and she said, no, you don't understand. He's never had the strength to be able to open the refrigerator door and get it out on his own. So for him to be able to go at home on his own independently to get a snack was huge.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's the only time that my aunt can be on her own there mm-hmm. and get around on her own. You know, for the rest of the day, she relies on her caregiving team to help mm-hmm. her throughout her house and in the community. When she's in the pool, the buoyancy there is the only time that she's able to mm-hmm. move on her own and go where she wants to go.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see her go through that. And she's been coming here for 2 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And actually, the first time we came, Emily helped us with an introductory class.
I don't think she liked me very much in the beginning. she was a little unsure in the pool at first, but she did great. Yeah.
Well, it can be a little cold getting in and out of the pool sometimes. And, you know, she doesn't like that. But when she's in, she's
And she didn't want help. I mean, she wanted to do it on her own. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great.
Now, you mentioned that there is quite a bit of youth and adult athletics going on. When it comes to percentages, would you say that Lakeshore is more youth programs, or would you say it's more adult?
I would probably say it's split, actually. Mm-hmm. We have a really cool athletics program here. And so for youth, we have basketball league, and they'll play close by places. They'll go to Atlanta and play teams there. They'll travel to tournaments all around. We have a youth prep team, which are the younger ages, 6 to about 13. Once they hit 13, then they'll move up to our varsity team, and they'll play there. And then even after that, they can go up to our adult team and play. We also have a women's team, women only. And so they'll travel around and play at the various tournaments. We also right now are in our track and field season. So we have field events, we have track events, swimming. Emily is the coach of our swim team that just started this year. It also includes weightlifting and archery. So we have a wide variety in our track season right now. And we also have a power soccer team. I'm the coach of our youth power soccer team that just started 2 years ago. We started with 5 youth. The next season we had 10, and then last year, obviously, COVID changed our plans on that, but we'll get started again this fall. So with power soccer, if you're not familiar with that sport.
I've never heard that phrase before.
So it's really cool. We also have an adult team for power soccer as well, but it's for people who use a power chair for their mobility. We provide all of the equipment for that. We have chairs specially designed for power soccer. It's a power chair that has a cage attached to the front for hitting the ball. It's played on a basketball court, so a hard surface. And you play, it's 4 versus 4, so you'll have 3 players in the field or on the court and 1 goalie for each team. Mm-hmm. And so the object is a lot of strategy.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of finesse. Learning how to move that chair and hit. We have a 13-inch soccer ball, so it's a lot bigger than a normal soccer ball, but they swing their chairs around and push that ball to try and score across the goal line.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of open area there where you have to kind of spread out and do like a, you know, gimme pass back and forth.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, it's funny because the kids have caught on extremely quick to the strategy of the game.
Yeah.
And it's one of those opportunities for a child who uses a power chair to be part of a team. One of the players on my team has 2 younger siblings who also play soccer. And her mom said, the second she got out on the court with this team, she said, we saw a completely different side of her. She said, we saw that competitive edge that we never saw. She was always watching her younger siblings play from the sidelines. And she said, now she's part of a team. And I'll tell you, she's the one who knows the game. She knows the strategy. She analyzes it, and it's awesome to see. So you get to see so many different sides of these kids with the opportunities that are out there.
It's amazing to see that at such a young age to build that confidence and that teamwork, because that it continue to grow as you get older. And I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, the sports and the athletics here at Lakeshore and the importance of the community and the accountability that it gives for the youth and even adults. If you would comment on that a little bit.
I think we're all more accountable and more successful, I guess, when there's a group. And, you know, I think especially for the kids, knowing they're going to get to see their friends, they're in a group where they feel safe, where they feel proud of themselves, you know, there's just so much more than just the physical exercise. And I think that's why programs like Lakeshore are so important to, you know, even like the parents. So, you know, we have swim practice yesterday. All the parents were talking on the benches yesterday, and just they may not have those connections otherwise.
That brings up a really good point. Something I didn't think about is, you know, being on the sidelines watching your children or your kid and then having those conversations with other people and building that connection outside of that. That was something I hadn't thought about.
They know exactly what they're going through. They've walked through it before, and they can be advocates for each other. They can be support for each other. And it's just, it's been really great to see, even in our daily programs, not just the sports. You know, the youth parents will always kind of talk through things together. Even the adult members in the pool, they'll talk about what they've been struggling with, what they've been doing. They'll call each other if they haven't seen each other in a while, just to really check in and know that they're not alone. And that's been huge.
So these activities are providing peer support opportunities mm-hmm. for everybody that's involved, not just the individual that's doing the activity.
Absolutely.
But for everybody to kind of build their support network there. Absolutely. And I like how you said accountability. I can't work out at home. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I thought about during quarantine, I have like a basement there that I kind of cleaned out, and I thought about getting some weights and, you know, stuff like that. And then I just thought, you're never going to use that.
It is hard. It's definitely easier when you have somebody to do it with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to go to the YMCA. I go to the YMCA out in Bessemer, the mm-hmm. Legacy YMCA. But I know just going there, that 15-minute drive, I'm going to do something. Yeah. And I think it's a big part of becoming that that community, that the YMCA or the Lakeshore mm-hmm. community, is signing up and just getting your name on the list and walking in the door. Mm-hmm. And then it'll kind of grow from there.
It does. So. I think that's the biggest step is getting here. And then it, like you said, it just opens up from there. Mm-hmm. Opportunities are endless, absolutely.
And Lakeshore has so much to offer. This place is huge, and you guys just keep building and adding things. It's amazing.
We do. Over the 11 years I've been here, there's been a lot of growth here. Mm-hmm. Lots of growth. Mm-hmm. Not just in our physical campus, but in membership as well. We're seeing a lot more youth coming through, a lot more adults coming through. And, you know, word of mouth is a wonderful tool. People that come here spreading the word to their friends and people that they know. And that's how our membership has grown.
And it really goes beyond just the doors of Lakeshore. You know, one thing that COVID this past year has really challenged us with is the virtual option. And we do have a lot of members who can't get here or feel more comfortable at home. And so we've done a lot of live virtual programs. And for them, that is their accountability. They sign up for it. They know the instructor is going to see them. They are going to see a lot of their friends on camera and just kind of meeting them where they are and taking away some of those barriers that are often there.
How is that going now that we're kind of getting out of the pandemic? Are you continuing to do the live activities, or is it more in person now?
There's both. So the live is continuing. I'm not sure the exact numbers of that, but I do know there has been a steady group, and we're resuming the in-person as well. And some people are doing both. And so I think just having opportunities in a variety of settings has been great.
Yeah, to be able to have that opportunity there, because transportation can be, you know, a mm-hmm. huge hurdle,
sure, right.
barrier there.
Right.
But I think there's something to be said for being in person if you can make
there
it.
There is.
There is. Yeah. Absolutely is. But on that, with the virtual piece, you know, like she said, COVID kind of pushed us to do that rather quickly. Mm-hmm. Something that we had already thought about and we're going to pursue, but I think it just made us stop and do it much sooner. But even with summer camps last year, we did them virtually. We did what was called Camp in a Box. I think other places had something very similar. But we continued with our summer camps. We didn't want to not have them. That's a special opportunity that kids get to have in the summertime. Every kid wants to go to camp. And so we just did them virtually. We sent all of the supplies in a box to them ahead of time. Each day they logged into a Zoom call and we went through the box and those days' activities together. And it was neat to see, even on a Zoom call, how they interacted with each other.
Yeah.
But one of the beautiful things about it that we found was that we could include kids who could not physically get here.
Mm.
Kids that may have lived in the north part of the state, in other states. We had kids from out west that joined us. And that was a very unique opportunity for us, and something that we are going to continue as we go forward into the summers and other events, is still having that virtual component to it, to include those kids, because there are not a lot of Lakeshores around.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of them, and people that can't get here, we want to give them an opportunity to see what we do. And a summer camp was the perfect opportunity last year to do that. And again, that's something we hope to continue in the future.
That's amazing that you can have people in camp that are maybe in Iowa or California doing the online stuff kind of like that. Now, what does that look like for youth athletics during the school year? Do they come here after school, or are there many opportunities during the school year?
Right, so we have some just recreational and aquatics opportunities after school, and then our athletics programs are also after school. And, you know, we have kids that play a multitude of sports, not just one. There's some that play all sports. But we try to give them the most opportunities that we can. You know, and there are going to be some kids that are going to go that athletic route, and there are some kids that don't. So we give them the recreational option. And then there are some kids that want to do just swim, and some kids that want to do everything. So we try to give them that opportunity. Most everything is done after school time. But we also just started a class, was it 2 years ago, I believe, that we started midday. We have a land class and an aquatics class back to back for kids who are homeschooled.
Oh, that's really cool.
Because we found out, you know, their school day is very different. Yeah. And so we gave them the opportunity to be together. And another piece of that one is they all gelled so well together. I went downstairs one day after my land class and noticed the moms and the kids all sitting around one of our tables down in the near the climbing wall downstairs, and they were having a poetry lesson together. And they were all sitting around reading poetry to each other, and that was part of their school. So not just in our class, but even outside of that, the opportunity was there for them to network together.
So they're taking the opportunity and kind of molding it into their day there.
Absolutely. And they use this as their PE, the classes, the aquatics and the land class.
I think it's really cool because, you know, even in homeschool or no matter what your ability is, it's important to stay active and to be able to have the opportunity to incorporate that in the homeschool setting or even after school. You know, they might, some individuals may not get that opportunity in their normal school setting to have this home base to be able to do that. I'd like you to talk a little bit about athletic versus recreation. And what that looks like, because there may be some individuals that are saying, I want to be more active, but I don't necessarily want to join a team, or I feel a little intimidated.
Right. Yeah. There is a big difference between those that want to be super competitive and those that want to just have fun. So through our adult recreation programs, we have our Monday night rec leagues. Right now, we haven't started anything back yet, but our fall will probably include that. We try to do a variety of sports. And we'll have different leagues. There'll be 6 to 8 weeks every Monday night, then we'll go to a different sport. We've done everything from floor hockey, we do tennis, we do pickleball, basketball, we'll have a league there. We just try to incorporate a lot of different activities for that recreational person that says, I've never tried that before, but I'll give it a shot. They don't want to jump right into a competitive league. That can be very intimidating. So we want to give them an opportunity to do it at just a very easy, basic level. We give them all the equipment. We give them all the instructions. And it's fun because they can get with other people very similar to them that don't necessarily, they just want to do it for fun. And you never know what can click in there. And then they pick that up and do that.
You know,
like tennis. Tennis is something that can be done, you know, for a lifespan. And so, you know, we want to provide those opportunities. So we do have those Monday night rec leagues that provide that opportunity. And then again, we have those competitive things, the basketball, the power soccer team for adults. And I know that'll only grow as we grow. Those opportunities for those adults will grow as well.
That's the same in the pool. We do, so for youth, we have a youth swim team, but then we also have an advanced swim class for the kids who don't want to do swim team. And that's fine. You know, they're both groups that are active, and you don't have to be on a competitive team to be active. And I think that's an important thing.
Do you notice that most people will kind of dip their toe in the water and do the rec and then kind of sign up for the team?
We have had several that have moved over. Absolutely. They're kind of like, they kind of get the bug and like, ooh, this is kind of fun. I want to see if I can, you know, advance a little bit more. And we absolutely have seen that. And then we've seen some of those on the competitive teams that decide, you know what, I think I want to try just for fun. And they'll come and play with us sometimes. And so it's really fun to see how people kind of mold and change.
Progress over,
yeah,
that.
Absolutely,
yeah.
They do.
It's tough not to get competitive when you see other people out there, you're like, I think I can do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. If they see a peer try it, then they're like, okay, well, maybe I'll come out next week and try.
Yeah, a little peer pressure in a positive form.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's how my dad started skating hockey about 8 years ago, and I started about 6 years ago, and I was like, if he can do it, I can do it. So I signed up for a 1 month thing, and it's, I've been on so many teams now. It's like, you know, I got reeled
in. You got the
bug. Yeah. While we're on the topic, you said it's about 6 to 8 weeks, and then you can always do the recreation, but when is the next sign up? So if somebody's watching and they're like, oh, this sounds like a really cool thing, I wonder when a deadline is.
Yeah, so we'll probably come out, we're meeting next week to talk about our fall lineup, because I think we'll be back into that in person. We'll be back on track with all of our programming, and so we will know what that lineup is going to look like. One, you know, earlier in the interview, you talked about this state being really into football. And so we do a flag football league recreationally. We do that. And it's for people who, anybody can play. We give you a manual sports chair to play in. And even people who use a power chair for mobility can play the sport. But it's 7-on-7. We play on a basketball court. The chairs have flags on the back. You have a quarterback, you have an offensive line, you have defense, and you know, you have 10 yards to get the ball across. And I mean, it's basically football. And it's just playing in sports chairs on a court.
I'd like to see that. I've only seen videos of rugby murder ball. And that is intense.
Yes. Yeah, that's full contact sport. Yeah. Yes, it is. Quite intense.
And they're here training now. Yes. Do you know when they head out?
I think they're here for 12 days. They came in Wednesday, started training yesterday, I believe, and they'll be here. I think it's 12 days this time, but this is the team that's going to Tokyo. Mm-hmm. These are the guys that were chosen for the team, so they're getting in another training session. There may be one more before they head out to Tokyo, but I think they're here right before they go, like leave from here to go to Tokyo.
Yeah, they leave from Birmingham.
So they're here. They're in some pretty intense training right now.
Yeah. Can anyone come and watch a training session?
Normally, in a normal time, yes, you could. But right now, because of our COVID guidelines that we still have here, we've sort of created a what we call the bubble around them, and they have that end of the court for just them. And so, you know, we're protecting them a little bit before they travel.
I feel like there's a huge inspiration there. Like if you just wanted to come and you were thinking about getting involved in athletics or anything like that, come and see an Olympic team, a Paralympic team, and be inspired by that.
Right. Typically, all those are open to guests, and we are transitioning back to that. A lot of the rugby guidelines are based on the physician that's following them and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Which is a bummer. Hopefully we get out of this
soon. Yeah. I'm ready. But we do encourage when we're back to full open, we do encourage people to come and watch those practices. And they love to have the spectators there too. I think it encourages them just as much.
And the same with just the facility usage in general. If anyone is interested and wants to come by for a tour and talk through things, we can. In order to participate, you do have to have a membership. And you asked about deadlines. So like adult aquatics programs are just rolling. There's no deadline. There's no sign up. Youth aquatics programs, we just take sign ups until we're full. We do run in sessions, but it's kind of an open type enrollment.
You said full. What does that look like? How many students there?
So we don't have any more than 3 kids for each instructor. So typically a maximum in a class would be anywhere from 12 to 15, just physical space in the pool. And then the ability for each child to get enough one-on-one instruction. But we do know that as we fill back up, we will need to add more classes, and we continuously look through all that.
Now these classes, is it learn how to swim, or is it what kind of class, what goes on in these classes?
For youth specific, we have a lot of different options. So we start at age 6 months. We have a class called Wet Tots, which is 6 months to 3. That's a parent-child class where we work on a lot of different things. Fine motor skills, gross motor skills, walking, standing, balance, kind of meet them where they are. And then from there, they can transition to our Learn to Swim class, which is just basic swim lessons. Any siblings in the age range can participate in that as well.
That's cool.
We have a class called ACES, which is a functional-based class.
So we use our shallow section of the pool and work on a lot of just the similar to the wet tots, the fine motor skills, gross motor skills, a lot of the same stuff they might be working on in physical therapy or occupational therapy, just in a recreation setting. You know, a lot of these kids may only get a certain number of PT and OT visits a year, so they can come to us and supplement and kind of keep going where they are. And then we have an advanced swim class, which is really for those kids who either are working towards swim team or just want to swim and not be on the swim team. And then we have a teen swim class for the kids that are older that are not swimming yet.
That is quite a few classes.
So we have a lot of different options. We do individual stuff as well. So individual swim lessons, individual personal training, those type things.
I think it's really cool that you have a 1-to-3 instructor student ratio there, mm-hmm. because as a parent or family member, I always get really nervous mm-hmm. in a pool because if something goes wrong, it can be drastic. Mm-hmm. But you know, I would feel a little bit nervous dropping my son or my daughter or family member off for a swim class. Do you have some of that sometimes from parents? That
we do, and part of the membership is an orientation process. So we typically, for 90% of the kids, we'll get them in the water first before we put them in a class. And occasionally they're not ready for a class yet. So I will work with them a few times to either get them ready for a class, or if we determine that individual option is the better option, we're gonna do what's best for safety and for success for them. So we're never gonna put someone in a class who's not ready for that. Even if we feel like we're sort of on the fence, sometimes parents will get in the water and just be close by just in case. But safety is our number one. We always have lifeguards as well. We're all lifeguards. So that is definitely the priority.
And I would say for my family member, when she gets in the pool mm-hmm. with her caregiver, there are times when she'll just sit on, there's like a stool there mm-hmm. that you can kind of sit down in the pool. And the other individuals that are in the pool, if need be, like we'll put down those little, aerobic steps mm-hmm. in the pool so she can, you know, practice lifting mm-hmm. up her left side. And mm-hmm. at that point, the caregiver has to kind of step away from her for a few seconds to put mm-hmm. those down. But anybody else that's in the pool, if they're sitting down, we've just been like, hey, would you mind right. just sitting next to my aunt? Right. And everyone's so accommodating, like no problem. Right. Everyone knows each other. So it's a very open community, especially in the pool from what I've seen.
It is. And that's where that community aspect comes into play. You know, everybody's a family. They fend for each other.
Yeah. Now, out of those classes, which one would you say is the biggest?
Probably the ACEs and the Learn to Swim, just because it's a larger age range. So we have those classes every day. And
those are about 12 to 15 people, you said, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the 6 months... you know, and that's young.
It is.
I've seen videos of instructors like throwing babies in the water, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, save that baby. But then they like flip over and start.
We don't do that okay. typically. And a lot of that is just that a child with a disability or a developmental delay may not have those reflexes to do that. So we're going to start them off a little bit slower. But that younger group, they may not have a diagnosis yet. They may be in early intervention for some type of delay. And a lot of times they grow out of those programs and they don't really need us anymore. But we're, you know, and we'll even talk to their physical therapists or PE teachers with the family's approval to kind of talk through what they're working on over here. We're going to transition and work on some of that too.
You beat me to it. I was going to ask if you if you guys talk with OT, PT, or other teachers. And what does that look like? Do you guys call them? Or?
So we have a fairly recent partnership with Children's of Alabama. They actually have a clinic on our campus now. And we have developed what looks like a prescription for physical activity, and their physician's release is on the back. So we would not typically contact them unless we had the conversation with parents that says, this is okay, we're giving them permission. A lot of times they would contact us or write it on that prescription pad. Mm-hmm. And we've developed such a good relationship with those therapists that they can call us and say, hey, I'm sending over this child, this is what I want you to work on. Or we'll work on things for a little while and then we'll kind of check in again midway through.
I like that continuity for the individual, where if they're leaving this, you know, they're done school and they're coming for mm-hmm. an activity, that there's the same level of support there mm-hmm. Throughout that life, the day for them.
So well, and they know that we know they're a physical therapist. Yeah. And if they, you know, we know that they can do more, or
it kind of goes in the opposite direction.
Absolutely.
We've had kids that will act like to their doctor that they can't do anything. And then you get them in the pool and they take off. And so it's really, it's very entertaining.
Kids will be kids, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. You got to send the doctor like a video.
The beautiful thing about having children's on our campus is, kind of like you said, they can call us up and go, hey, we've got a kid here that's in clinic. We're sending them down the hill, and we'll literally meet them at the front door. And, you know, it, because of the close proximity, the logistics of actually getting here before they were on our campus, they might get lost in between or say, oh, well, we can't go today. And they, you know, and then they don't come as quickly as we would like for them to come. But having them in such close proximity, literally the therapist can walk them down to the front door and then we meet them. And so it has opened up just this vast number of kids that have the opportunity now to see Lakeshore because they're physically on our campus.
We have one little girl, and she's recently joined the swim team, but she started, I guess, you know who I'm talking about, mm-hmm. about a year and a half, mm-hmm. maybe 2 years ago now. And we got a call from her physical therapist at Children's and said, I think she would be a really good fit. So she was doing her homeschool group, and she would go to PT, and then she'd come and do Lori's Land class, and then she would come get in the pool. And we kind of touched base with her physical therapist several months in and said, you know, when she first started coming, she was stand unassisted for 30 seconds or so. Maybe. And then one of her last PT sessions, she walked for 45 minutes.
Wow.
And so just knowing that all of that combined, they released her from physical therapy.
That's
because she was coming here and staying active.
Yeah. That's an astronomical climb. If you were to look at a chart of that for 45 seconds to 45 minutes.
It is.
That's like compound interest.
And, you know, but she worked hard, you know, and she, and one thing that the staff at Children's is really good about is not sending a child over unless the family is really ready. You know, sometimes they may be really, really close off of a surgery or a recent accident or injury, and they may just not be ready for that yet. You know, we have a lot of programs, they're big building, and that may be overwhelming at first. So they really work to send them over when they really think they're ready and are going to be most successful.
Yeah, so they don't drop out there, feel a little overwhelmed.
Right.
I love that Children's has a spot here on the campus. And I've heard from other families that it's tough. When like going to see a doctor, you got to have, you see five doctors mm-hmm. and they're at different days and you got to travel. And I know that UAB, and I think it's Children's, are working on having a program where you can do kind of all in one for mm-hmm. a day. And that looks to be very promising. And I know that the families and the individuals really enjoy that. So to be able to provide that opportunity here for activity
right.
and rehabilitation, I imagine is a lot more successful for those families.
Yeah. And one thing that Children's does is they have a lot of disciplinary clinics. And so one of the ones they see up there is called rehab medicine. And so they'll see the rehab medicine physician, they'll see a PT and an OT as well. And so they kind of get a one-stop shop to everything. And being on our campus, the parking is a little bit easier and it just streamlines it a little bit.
Yeah, it's awesome here. I kind of want to get back into the summer program. So if people are looking to, is there still an opportunity to sign up for right now during this summer?
Well, we're still looking at a hybrid of our summer programming. A typical summer for us, for youth, we have a sports-specific camp that we offer. We have an adventure camp that we offer. We have what's called inclusion camp, which I direct, and we have 2 weeks of that. We had to divide that one up because it started getting so big. We decided to do 2 weeks of it. Emily and I direct a family camp that we offer twice a summer, usually one time in June, one time late summer, first-ish of August, that's at Children's Harbor on Lake Martin. And so that's kind of typically what our summers will look like. Right now, just because of COVID guidelines and things, we've sort of done a hybrid version. So our sports camp and our adventure camp, we combined. We just had that this week. It's called Camp Ignite. And then I have inclusion camp coming up July 6th through the 9th. Right now I am at capacity, but I do have a waiting list. Things happen all the time. Plans change as people get closer to camp time. So if anybody is interested, absolutely go ahead and let's get on a waiting list. It is open to members and non-members. They can bring a friend or a sibling with them to camp. And then our family camp, we are close to capacity. I think we could probably open it up to another family or two, potentially. I'm glad we're at capacity, but hopefully next summer we'll be back to full open.
So this summer is a little bit smaller groups just because of everything that's going on.
Right.
Now, these camps, so you can get on the waiting list for inclusion if anyone's interested in doing that, and please sign up for the family camp. There's might be a spot for one more family there. What's the cost to the individual or for the family?
Yeah, so for our regular summer camps outside of the family camp, Camp Strive, the other camps are $40 for members, and that's for a four-day camp. Lunch is included, and it's $80 for non-members. The family camp, Camp Strive, is $50 per family.
That includes a
whole weekend of fun.
It is. Children's Harbor is very generous and donates their facilities to us to use. And that one is a great one, especially for families who may not be able to get here on a daily basis. It's an hour and a half from Birmingham, so that's hitting a lot of different groups. And it's kind of a stepping stone into some of this adaptive activity. They can meet some members. We do give priority to families who have never been before. And in a typical summer, we have two of those, which really opens up to almost 50 families.
Oh, wow.
So we really try to plug that to those families who can't get here. And we do have kind of a rolling contact list. So we have like a member group and then kind of a program group. So if there's anyone who's interested but maybe can't come right now, we can add them to the contact list and get them all the information. And then we do have spots in the Youth Aquatics. So that can be joined at any point.
And that, does the Youth Aquatics cost any?
No, it's included in your membership.
In the membership. And I know the membership is very reasonable, but if for any reason that you feel like it's a little expensive, there are opportunities for scholarships.
There are.
And my family member receives one of those scholarships, yes. And so it makes it very affordable for her to come. And she's really looking forward. Well, the pool sometimes can be a little cold, but it's necessary.
Only cold when she gets out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's warm in the water.
What I should do is I should just get her a robe.
Yeah.
So when she gets out, we can just put, because normally what we do is put a couple towels on her.
Yeah.
But a robe would be really nice for her. So I'll look into getting that.
Financial assistance, they can apply for camp as well.
Yes.
Okay. But even still, $40 for 4 days, $10 a day, plus you get a meal, is a steal.
It is. Right.
I mean, normally I think about a camp, I'm thinking like $1,000 for a week, or a weekend.
Yeah. And with the membership, you can come to the facility on your own too, and we want you to. So it's not just the programs. It often is a little bit harder for youth just because they may not be independent in the pool. Mm-hmm. But we really encourage them to exercise as a family. Mm-hmm. And they can have a family membership or just an individual one or just the kids. So there are a lot of different membership options. One thing that this past year has taught us is to look at all that again and figure out, you know, kind of the best way to get our programs to everybody that wants them.
And anybody can become a member of Lakeshore, correct?
You have to have a physical disability or chronic health condition or... and then anyone in your household can join as well, or over the age of 65.
Yeah. I love the idea of family working out, group work out there. Are there volunteering opportunities at these camps, or are you guys looking for volunteers?
There are. We typically have a volunteer coordinator who will head that up. We typically will have some summer teens. We'll do an interview process for that for the summer. Obviously this summer, with the COVID guidelines, has been a little different for us as far as volunteers just across the board. But I think that is starting to open up a little bit. But yes, we always are looking for volunteers for those camps. I know a lot of our teens around have so many community service hours that they need to get. And a lot of them just do it because it's something that will help them with whatever their college major is. You know, they may want to, you know, get in the PT world, and so they start with those kinds of things. So we get a lot of variety of why people want to come and volunteer. Some people just want to volunteer to give back. It's a lot, but we do have a really cool volunteer program.
It's such a great opportunity to get hands-on experience that you may not be able to get otherwise.
Yeah, I feel like if you're in high school or college and you're going into that field, or if you just want to have fun, become a volunteer and get on the list.
Absolutely.
We even have members of Lakeshore that come and volunteer. You know, they may be a greeter at the front desk. They may, you know, fold our towels. They may clean off equipment. They may just be there to be that shining, smiling face when somebody comes in the door. But we have a variety of people and a lot of different opportunities for volunteers. You know, when a tournament rolls around, there's opportunity there. I mean, you could even, you know, run a score table, those kinds of opportunities. Concession stand. I mean,
and
there's a lot.
We have a number of staff who started as a volunteer or an intern.
Yeah.
And have transitioned.
Can anybody be a ref? You probably have to go through a course to be a ref.
Most of that is through you have to have certain training.
Yeah.
To do that.
They have to do that for hockey where I play. And, you know. So, but that sounds really cool. I'd like to do like scorekeeping or something like that at a tournament. But we got to wait till we get out of this pandemic.
That's right.
What would you say to someone that maybe is wishing that they were more active? Maybe they're staying home a little bit much and they're like, yeah, I should start to be more active. I don't know where to start. What would you kind of say to them?
Well, one of the things that we've talked about is, you know, being active doesn't mean you have to go to a gym. That straight up doesn't mean. It could be, you know, outside, you know, take a walk down your driveway to start with. Just doing something a little bit different, pushing yourself a little more than you did the day before. There's virtual options out there now for people. I'm not one, I'm kind of like you, I'm not one that could do it at home. I need to go somewhere and do it. But again, it doesn't necessarily require that you go to a gym because that's not always what people, you know, some people are not comfortable with that. Totally get that. Totally fine. But there are a lot of opportunities. One of the things that we do here in our adult world, and something that has really taken off and has become a very big program, is our cycling program here. We have, it's 3 days a week. There are different time slots to come and cycle, but we have hand cycles. We have upright cycles, excuse me, we have recumbent bikes that look more like the racing bikes that people can hand crank around. We have a wide variety of those. And so we'll have people that will come and you sign up for an hour and you bike around our field house. And that is really good exercise. It's indoors. It's, you can kind of do it at your own pace. And we outfit you with the bike. We get one that's comfortable for you. And, you know, sometimes that's been an easy way to get people sort of started back. You can start really slow. I mean, even if you do one lap around, it's more than you did the day before.
Yeah.
And start there and kind of increase up. But that's been an easy way to get some people feeling comfortable coming back. We have that. So there are a lot of different ways and different opportunities to.
And the thing about being active is don't compare yourself to other people. What being active for you may look totally different from someone else. And one thing that I always like to say is it needs to be sustainable and enjoyable. So you need to pick something that you are gonna, that you can stick with. So, you know, you don't, if you start and go 0 to 60, you're gonna wear yourself out and you're gonna get burned out. So finding that community, starting slow and doing something that you enjoy and that you want to do.
And walk in the door or give
exactly.
a call.
Right.
Make that first call there.
Exactly.
Because I know sometimes it you know, I've been in a little bit of ruts where I'm not as active as I'd like to be, and that kind of builds on it.
Mm-hmm.
But all it takes is just that first day of getting back into it, whether that's getting in the pool or getting on that bike again, and just getting your heart rate up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's electric.
Yeah. And we'll walk you through programs. I mean, we'll, you know, start from zero and build your way up. And once you establish that community, they're going to check on you. Make sure you're coming.
They will.
And it's indoors, so you got to go rain or shine. You don't
That's
get an
excuse. Right.
That's right.
No excuse.
That's right.
What would you say to a family member that's dropping off their kid, their child, or to a camper activity that might be a little bit nervous about leaving their side?
Yes, we talked about this yesterday. Yeah. This kind of goes into your question earlier. I would just say to trust us. We got it. Yeah. You know, enjoy your day. Get some respite for you. You know, we want them to be kids. And that's where building the rapport with those families comes into play as well.
That's right, because this involves the whole family. It's not just that child. You know, we say this when our military families come in, but for our camps, you know, those servicemen and women leave, you know, one day, and then they come back very different. And we focus on the entire family, not just that person that now has a disability or a health condition. It's the whole family. I mean, it's the kids, it's the spouse, it's, you know, extended family, because now it affects everybody. And, you know, it's the same way with the kids. We want those families to know that we're not here just for that child. We're here for you guys too, because it encompasses everybody.
Now, with our daily programs, the parent is required to remain in the building unless they're 14, but they can have a membership and go exercise on their own. So I know that can be a struggle, and finding time for yourself as a parent can be hard. So providing that opportunity as well.
I love the holistic approach to it. Taking care of the whole family there, mm-hmm. very welcoming, arms open approach there. And I love how you also said that it's a little bit of respite for maybe the caregiver or the parents or the family member, where you can go get your workout, or if you, mm-hmm. you want to go food shopping or do some other errand, mm-hmm. go get your nails done, you know, for that right. hour that activity is going on.
We love seeing the parents all go to breakfast after they drop their kids off.
Oh, that's you know, cool. That's breakfast
been, club. That's been great. They'll drop them off for camp and, you know, the kid doesn't even look back. They've gone yeah. into the field house and the mom's like, okay, well, and you know, there'll be three or four of them that'll run to breakfast and, you know.
And they do cool. all that on their own.
Oh yeah.
You know, we...
Absolutely.
We're just here, but they build that community themselves.
They start a Facebook, a breakfast club Facebook group.
Oh, yeah.
As we kind of come to a close here, I'm going to acknowledge Ethan Aubrey Keller. She says, great job. Keep it up with the good work. So
thank you very much,
Mrs. Keller. are there, once again, are there upcoming deadlines to register for anything in the next few months that somebody would be aware of?
Inclusion camp, if you do want to get on that waiting list, the deadline is June 30th for that. Okay. And that gives us a little time to prepare right before for the meals and things like that. But June 30th, and then Strive will be once it's full. But we'll always create a waiting list because, you know, things do change. And then once we get into fall, it's like she said, our daily programming, we just kind of go until it's full. Mm-hmm.
We have a parent meeting in the fall, usually about the second week of August or so, once school gets going, to do registration for that. We can do membership paperwork at that time too. So, you know, as far as the deadline, I would just say as soon as possible to get on the list for that. That way you're not missing any communication.
Yeah, so the August 2nd sounds like a pretty big meeting.
Usually is, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's usually our biggest one.
We do that for the fall, and then we do that again leading into summer, because there are a lot of families who may not be able to come on a daily basis during the school year, but can in the summer. So providing an opportunity to start registration at one time to get all the information to them.
That's a nice thing that you guys do for those families that can't get here during the school year. All right. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think an individual or a family member would benefit from hearing?
Come take a look.
Yeah. If you want to come take a tour, we'll give you a tour just so you can see it firsthand.
And if there are any reservations, we can talk through. If you feel like maybe you're not ready, or if you're apprehensive, give us a call. We'll talk through things. We can start slow.
Yeah. Now, I have one last question here. Do you guys provide transportation? Is there a Lakeshore bus if someone's having difficulty?
There's not a Lakeshore bus, but there are, I know Max buses run here, ClassTran comes here, and then there's probably some individual ride share programs that will come here as well.
I know Kid One
does come
a good bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one last one. I don't see any sleds down in Pelham. Is that something that might be in the future?
Yeah, for the sledge hockey.
Yeah.
We have sleds here.
Really?
We do. We have some sleds here, and they're interchangeable, so we can put blades on the bottom, but we can also put wheels on the bottom, so it's more like a roller skate, and we can be out here. But we do periodically take groups to the Pelham Ice Rink, and we'll bring in a coach or a former player.
Or you, maybe.
I have a friend that was thinking about it, and I was like, I don't know anybody that has sleds. Or what that would look like down there. Can someone rent them and take them? Like if we were to do just a free skate down there?
Potentially, just give us a call because we can certainly talk through that because we do have a rental program for some equipment. And so that is absolutely a possibility. If you've never watched sledge hockey, watch it. It's really cool.
I have. It is really cool. And I've taken my family member on the ice in her wheelchair. She was very uncertain about it at first. But it kind of lights up like a disco. So she was enjoying that. But I wonder how she would do on a sled. I don't know if she would do a sled or not. I don't know. We'll have to talk about that.
We can talk about that. Yeah. But and one last thing I will say about that is, some of these sports like that are not super common down here, we have events for kids periodically through the year called Paralympic Experiences. We usually do two a year, one usually at the end of summer and then the other one in the spring, where we expose the kids to Paralympic sports. Any sport that's in the Paralympics, and we've done fencing here, we have done basketball, we have done the sledge hockey, we've done a variety of things, archery, that kind of stuff. So we try to expose the kids to those sports and maybe find that budding athlete out there that has a passion for
it. And if someone wants to try something, we're going to figure out a way to
that's our
make
job.
It work.
Yeah. It's very individualized what you guys do. Yeah. So that's really cool. And then I'm excited about the World Games coming up. And I know that Lakeshore is partnering with the World Games there.
We are. We've had several meetings about it. Our rec and athletics department is going to kind of be that core group. But then I think the rest of the of Lakeshore will participate in some form or fashion. But yeah, we will be down there providing hands-on experiences.
Yeah, I'm having friends and family come in. I'm like, dude, y'all got to come in for
this. This is going to be a unique experience for Birmingham for sure.
Yeah, it's going
to
be really
and
cool.
And we're really excited leading up to the Tokyo Games as well. I believe there's going to be a lot more primetime coverage this year of the Paralympics themselves. So that's going to give everybody a great opportunity to really see that.
A huge boost. When is that?
When is it?
I should know that. When is it?
Starts in August, right? It's exactly a month after the Olympic Games.
Is there a channel online that would stream it for free or like a 24-hour?
NBC does.
NBC?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do Paralympics?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're doing all of it.
I wonder if there's like a Twitch channel or a YouTube channel. I would love for us to go over to Tokyo. You're
right.
Go to usparalympics.org and they'll have all that information on there as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up today's broadcast. I would like to thank both of you for spending the morning with us and informing us on everything that Lakeshore is doing for athletics and recreation and the pool. So at this point, we'll go ahead and kind of wave at our cameras, and we will see you guys next week.